Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Good morning, good morning. How's everybody doing today? It's good to see everybody. Doesn't our sanctuary just look amazing? It just, I mean, the guys who did it, I just want to take a minute. I know we did this a couple weeks ago during second service, but we didn't do it during first. And if I embarrass you, you'll be all right. I just want to say thank you to Scott Birch, who came and painted. Thank you, Scott. I want to say thanks to Mark Miller, who came and spent a week just working. Did so much. And I want to say thanks to Mike Prediger, who built the stage. Did a great job. Mark Miller is the one who made this sign for us. Isn't that awesome? I mean, it is just such perfection. Every light bulb is exactly measured perfectly. I mean, it's just the patience of that man is incredible. And so we want to thank you guys. You guys just did, that's what it's all about. All of us coming together with the gift that you have. You bring it to the body and it makes the body better. Amen? And so I just want to say thank you so much for that. It's every time I walk in here, I'm just like, oh, man, this place looks awesome. Doesn't it? It's supposed to look awesome. This is God's house, and it's supposed to look awesome. And I just believe, you know, we're always doing improvements, and we just always want to make God's house excellent. And because that's his heart, and we want to honor him. And, you know, I don't want anybody walking into God's house and being like, this place is shabby, you know? This is the house of God. It should be awesome. And so whatever you do, don't look up when you go out to the foyer, to the chandelier. That's our next project. Don't look up. Now everybody's going to go out there and go like, what's up there? If you're wondering what's up there, it's a big leak. Big leak. But we call that thing fixed in Jesus' name. Amen. And so I'm just so thankful that we have such a strong body of BBC, that everybody wants to help and everybody wants to be part. And we had our I Am BBC meeting, which you see the shirt. So everybody that volunteers here, they're part of the team, Team BBC. And so they serve. You know, you can't buy those shirts. You don't just get them given to you. You know, when you join the team and you serve, you're I Am BBC. And so that's what those shirts mean. And we had a meeting with all of our IMBVC people about a couple weeks ago, I think it was. And it was so powerful because one of the things, I didn't plan on talking about this, but I'll share it with you. But one of the things that we did was that we circled the whole building here on the inside of the sanctuary, and we joined hands and we were praying, and it was just so powerful. But I was standing up here and everybody wasn't here, like some people couldn't make it, but there's a lot of people here to go all the way around this thing, and that was Ben's idea. I was like, you think we have enough people? And he's like, yeah, you know, and so we did it. But as I was standing up here, and I looked out, and I saw just such a beautiful family. I just saw every age group, every ethnic group, I saw everything. There's one of everything here, amen? There's one of everybody here, and that's exactly how it's supposed to be. We're the body of Christ, amen? And I saw very young people, and I saw, you know, older people, and it was so great, and it was so beautiful. And I tell you, it moved me to tears, because I was just like, man, this is what church is supposed to look like. And so I'm so proud of our church. I'm so proud of our church. And it was a beautiful moment. I think the videos on Facebook, if you know, we got real corny and we were chanting, I am BBC. It was pretty cool, you know. And I just encourage you to watch it because that's your family. Amen. And just like all families, there's always, you know, there's always a few in every family. So, you know, sometimes people are like, oh, I don't go to church because of this, because of that. Listen, church is not perfect because church is made up of imperfect people. If church was perfect, you couldn't come here, right? You would be turned away at the door, and so would all the rest of us. Church is an imperfect thing, but it's for a perfect reason. Amen. We're the bride of Christ, and I encourage you to pray for the local church. Pray for local churches all across the nation because the enemy is just attacking. Do you know that every year more churches close than open? Isn't that sad? So many churches close every year, and it's a sad thing. I got an email from somebody the other day, and they said, hey, do you know of any spirit-filled churches in this particular area? He said, I looked up two, but they both shut their doors. Rhema churches, just like us, Rhema churches. So they shut their doors, and I was like, man, I had to tell them, I don't know any spirit-filled churches there. I don't know that there are any there. I don't know. And I was like, man, the enemy is trying so hard. And so I just thank God, you know, here at BBC, this year, I got some news for you. We're celebrating our 30th year. Isn't that incredible? 30 years ago. It was 30 years ago in 1987 that Pastor Mark, my brother, started Believers Victory Church in the living room of Darlene Merrill. How many remember Darlene Merrill? They started the church with, I think, like six people. And I'm just so grateful to be part of that. Amen. So grateful to still be here and still be so strong. And that's all of us together. And so look at your neighbor and say, good job. Good job. Good job, neighbor. All right. I didn't plan on saying all that. I got a message for you guys. Today, this is just for today, it's just a one-timer. It's not a series. We're not starting a series today. But I wanted to talk to you. You know, we say here at Believers Victory Church all the time, we all know this, we say, I give because I want to, not because I have to. Well, today, I want to teach you why I want to. Amen. I want to show you from the Word where that comes from. It's not just something we made up. I mean, it's based on the Word. And so turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And we're going to look at some scripture up here. We're going to look at verses 17 through 19. Oh, that's good. Why I want to. And when we think about this, we say here all the time, we don't give out of pressure or obligation or, you know, or somebody, you know, we're not showing slides up here that are real sad and saying, hey, you need to give or anything like that. We give because we want to, not out of compulsion. And so this is written, 1 Timothy is Paul's letter to Timothy, and Timothy is a pastor. And so the books of Timothy, 1st and 2nd, are written to Timothy, and they're called pastoral books. And so these are kind of my books, right? And so it says, command those who are rich in this present world, which would be all of us. If you're sitting here today and you're like, I'm not rich. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not rich. You know, statistically, if you have any money at all, how many got some change somewhere? You know, you got like a little change thing. You got some quarters in there. If you have any money at all, if you have a piggy bank, if you have change in your car, change in your purse, any money at all, statistically, you are more wealthy than one-third of the entire population. That's pretty wild, isn't it? Sometimes, you know, here in America especially, we have a different idea what rich is. All of us are rich in many ways, all of us. And so it says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. How many figured that out? Money is very uncertain. He says, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. And so Paul is talking to him, and he's telling him, listen, I'm telling you to command those in your body, in your church, that we are to be generous. And one thing about BBC, we are a generous church. It amazes me how generous we are. I mean, when we're generous, when we give, we're not just giving money. We give of our time. We give of ourselves. We give. But when we give, it blesses everybody. Just like this stage was paid for by one person. They did the heart for the house. We put that we wanted to remodel the stage, and it would cost $2,000. Well, you know what? Somebody in this body wrote a check for $2,000 and wrote, this is to remodel the stage. And now we're all blessed by it. Amen? We're all blessed by it. And so if you're here today and you say, oh my goodness, they're talking about money. Listen, I very rarely talk about money. If you're here, because I want people to give because they want to. We don't put any pressure. I don't teach on money all the time. But here's a very interesting thing that you may not realize. Do you know that of the parables that Jesus taught, most were about money? Do you know that the Bible talks more about money than it talks about heaven and hell combined? God talks a lot about money because guess what? You talk a lot about money. Amen. God talks a lot about money because money is important to us, and it's part of our life. Most marriages end because of money problems. Most marriages that don't end, but they're just fighting all the time, is because of money problems. Most depression, they say, is linked to money problems. Money can be a problem, or it can be a tool that God puts in your hand. Use it right. It's going to be a blessing to others, a blessing to you, a blessing to the kingdom of God, and you're going to have your heart right. The reason that we say we give because we want to is because giving is a heart matter. If your heart isn't in it, then keep it. Amen? That's what we say. We say, if you don't want to give, what do we say? Just keep it. We love you. We care about you. Here's some good news for you. If you're born again, if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you never gave a dime to the church, you're still going to heaven. Isn't that good news? You're still going to heaven. So it's not like you have to. We do it because we want to. But here's an interesting thing. Do you know, I got a slide up here for you, the one about the words, how many times they're used. The word believe is used in the Bible, how many think, probably a lot of times, 272 times. Right? The word prayer is used 371 times. The word love, now you think like this is a big word, right? Only 714 times. But the word give is used, look at that, 2,161 times. I heard one pastor say it like this. He said, give is the verb of the Bible. God loves us. God loves us. And we're the subject. And give, when God loves us so much, you can't help but give. And we're not just talking about money. We give of ourselves. We give of our time. How many got kids in here today? You got kids over in children's ministry this morning. Raise your hand up. You got kids in children's ministry this morning. Do you know that you were able to drop your kid off, and they're going to be so blessed because those preschool teachers come in here during the week, get their class ready. They study for it. They get all the supplies for the craft they're going to do, and they get ready for that all on their own time. Those people aren't paid over there. They're not paid. They're giving their time. Why? So that you can be in here to receive the word. They're giving their time. Why? Because they believe in building up children. They're giving it. You know, Mark Miller was here. He was here all week, a whole week, from like 7 in the morning until Ben would let him go home, like 5, 6 at night. You know? I mean, he was here working. What was he doing? He's giving his time. Scott came in here. He's rolling paint on the wall. These guys, they have their own companies. This is what they do for a living. They didn't get paid. They didn't get paid for that. Not in cash. But they got paid in different ways. Amen? So when we say we give, we're not just talking about money. We're talking about being generous. The Bible says to be givers, to be generous people, to be generous with encouragement, generous with compliment, generous with a hug, generous with kindness, generous with love, generous with the things that really matter. Amen? Generous with those things. And so Paul is telling Timothy, he says, listen, command your people to be givers. Tell your people the importance of giving. And so when we talk about this, you know, the Bible is filled, as you know, because the word gives in there 2,161 times. Jesus talked more about money, really, than anything else. And so we know that it's an important thing because the Bible says where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And so you can say that you care about something all you want, but if your money's not in it, you don't really care about it. And people want to fight that all the time. But either God is right or you're right. I don't know about you. I'm going to go with God. I'm going to go with God on this, you know? I'm going to go with the word. It says, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. You want to see what you really care about, look at what you give to. Where's your finances? A lot of people say they care for the church. They care for the gospel. But their heart's not really there. Other things are more important. And listen, we're not raising money for anything. I'm not going to say, oh, we're taking up a special offering today. No, no, no. That's not what we're doing. I'm teaching you why we want to give. And if you don't want to, that's between you and the Lord. And we say it all the time. We still love you. We'll still pray for you. We'll still come and visit you in the hospital. I'll still preach the word to you. We'll still take care of your kids. You get all the benefits of church, whether you give or not. That's the truth. But there are benefits that come from having your heart where it belongs. Amen? And having your treasure where it goes. And so let's look over at 2 Corinthians. I want to teach you why we want to give. And again, when we say give, don't just think, oh my goodness, it's all about money. No, it's about a lifestyle of generosity. Amen? A lifestyle, a heart condition of being generous. I heard a minister say this, and I thought it was so interesting. He talked about an article that was written in the Wall Street Journal. And he talked about this, you know, Darwin, how many know about Darwin, right? The whole theory of evolution, that's all about the, you know, do whatever it takes to survive. The strongest survive. And they can't figure out scientifically why people are generous. It doesn't make any sense to give if it's the fittest survive, the strongest survive, the wealthiest survive. If that's how we're hardwired, then why is it that we are generous? And here's what they found in this study. They found that there's actually, your brain is wired to give. When you are generous, when you give a compliment, when you give something, when you give to people, this is a scientific fact. When you give, there is a release in your brain that is pleasure. Why is that? If we evolved. You know why that is? Because we didn't. We were created by a giver who made us givers. Yeah. Amen? You know, I think, not to get on it, but people are saying, oh no, I believe in evolution. Here's my question for you. If evolution is true, why are we not still evolving? Why don't we have half ape, half man walking out of the jungle saying, all right, where do I sign up? Where do I go? I've evolved into this next step. Where do I go? We don't have that because it didn't happen. Right. Amen? It didn't happen. You don't go to, you know, Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts and see somebody that's, you know, in the process of evolving. They may look like they are, but they're not. Amen? They're not. We either are or, yeah, you've had a rough day. I always joke, there's a guest speaker who comes here. I'm not going to name their name because they might listen to this, but they come here and one time they rolled out of bed and it just looked a mess and they went to Starbucks to get coffee and somebody thought they were homeless and gave them money. Talk about having a rough day. But you know, the thing is that we're hardwired to give, amen? Jesus himself said in Acts, he said, it's better to give than to receive. And so we're made that way. We're made to be generous. And it's when you discover that, that's when you want to give. Amen? That's when you want to. So let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We're going to look at verses 1 through 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 12. I want to have the... read the same thing. It says, and now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Now, I just want to do a timeout. How many are ready to learn a thing or two? Let's get some backstory. You know, sometimes we read the Bible, but we don't know the backstory, so we don't get the full story. Now, this is Paul. He's writing. This is one of two letters that he wrote to the church of Corinth. The church of Corinth, they called those people Corinthians. So just like we're from Florida and they call us Floridians. You see that? You see that? And so if Paul was writing us a letter, he would write Floridians. So Paul's writing this letter and we're going to see what he did here. This is very interesting. Paul's a little sneaky. He's a little sneaky. And so he's writing and Corinth, the church of Corinth, he founded that church. And it's the most successful church he founded. And he talks about how successful they are. But Paul had a desire. He wanted all the churches that he founded, he wanted, and he wanted to teach them and show them the importance of honoring where you come from. And so he taught all the churches that he founded. He's an apostle, and he founded all these churches in what's now modern-day Turkey. That's where he founded these churches. And so he founded them, but he had a heart, and he taught them to always give back to what we call like the mother church, the church in Jerusalem. And so when he would talk to his churches, he would say, listen, you need to give to the church in Jerusalem. That's where it come from. And that's why we give to Rhema. That's where we come from. Amen? We give to Kenneth Hagin Ministry. That's where we come from. It's our roots. It's who grew us. And so he's writing here, and so he's writing to the church of Corinth. Now, I want you to see what he does. He says, I want to talk to you about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Go to the next one. He says, in the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Let me tell you something. Only God can put overflowing joy and extreme poverty in the same sentence. Right? Isn't that amazing? It doesn't matter where you're at, God can still bring you joy. So he says, in the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Never think you are too poor to give. Amen? That is a lie of the devil. The only way to get out of poverty is to give. That's the only way to get out. And so go to the next one. And he says, for I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability entirely on their own. Now listen to what Paul's doing. He's doing a little competition. He's saying, hey, Corinth, you guys got it. You're the richest church that I founded. You're in a rich area. And he goes on to tell them in a minute, you're rich in knowledge. You're rich in good deeds. You're rich. You guys are great. You guys are the best. But boy, oh boy, look at this church over here. They did so much, and they were in extreme poverty. They were in a hard time, but they gave more than we ever thought they were going to give. What's he doing? He's sitting there. He's like, listen, if these guys can do it, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Let's go to the next one. He says, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And that's why when you hear me pray over the offering many times, I say, Lord, I thank you that it is an honor and a privilege. It's a privilege to be a giver. It's a privilege to further the kingdom of God. It's a privilege to give into the house of God. It's a privilege. And this is where I got it from. They urgently pleaded with us. The church in Macedonia, Paul was telling them, listen, you guys are going through a hard time. You just keep what you got. They pleaded with Paul to be part of the offering to go back to the church in Jerusalem. That's powerful. They pleaded with him. And he said, the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. Go ahead. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. When we're talking about giving, you know, you can give, people can give money, but they never give themselves. Amen? People, you know, like for me, I remember when I was younger in the Lord, time was so valuable to me because I literally, you know, sometimes people are like, oh, I work 80 hours a week. Do you? Seriously. You know, seriously. But I tell you what, seriously, the job I had, you clocked in and you clocked out and it was a 60-hour week every week. You were scheduled 60 hours. You worked 12 hours a day every day. And you had an hour for lunch. That was it. That's how it was. And so when they would say, hey, we need you to volunteer, I'd be like, I don't have, no. I'll give money. Because my time, at that time, my time was more valuable than money. And so I remember I was standing at work one day and a lady came in and she worked in the children's ministry. And so I was at work and so she came in and I saw her from a distance and I was kind of like, you know, because I knew what she was going to do. She was going to ask me to volunteer because we were going to have I don't know what we were having, something at church. And I knew, you know, she had that look. Children's people are usually always looking for volunteers, right? And so I'm just telling you. And so she was coming for me. I could feel it. She was coming for me, you know? And I was just like, oh, get ready. You can say no. Say no is an anointed word. No. I'm like practicing. No. And so she comes up. She says, hey, we really need some volunteers, and would you be interested? And on the inside, I'm like, oh. But I found myself saying, sure, I'd love to. And I'm thinking, why did I do that? Oh my goodness, this is so crazy. Because I have a hard time saying no. Anybody knows me, know I have a hard time saying no. And so I said, on the inside, I'm screaming, no! But on the outside, I'm just like, her little face, and she was so sweet about it. And I was like, okay, sure. And the whole week, I'm like just dreading. I'm just like, I can't believe this, you know. But you know what? That time that I gave was one of the best things I ever did, because it turned my heart to ministry. Before, I just wanted to give, you know. But something happened to me. Something happened to me at that thing. I didn't do anything spectacular. I think I just kind of stood around, because I'm really not a super kid person. And I just stood around and I did whatever they told me to do. And that was it. But it just, something happened in me. Why? Because I gave myself. Sometimes the best thing you can give is you. Amen? And that's what Paul talks about, the church in Macedonia. He said, listen, first they gave themselves. So if you're sitting here saying, I don't have any money to give, I don't have this to give, you got you to give. And you are the best thing to give. Amen? Because it does something to your heart. It puts you where you go. And so he says, they gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. He says, so first they gave themselves, and then they gave an offering that went back to the church. Let's keep going. And he says, so we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. So what's he saying? He's like, listen, we're sending Titus for that offering. That's what he's saying. He's saying, listen, Titus picked up the Church of Macedonia's offering, and we're sending Titus to pick up your offering too. Let's keep going here. He says, but since you excel in everything, now he's getting on. He's saying, listen, this Church of Macedonia, you know, they were struggling. It was hard for them, but they did above and beyond what we thought. And now he's telling them, he says, but since you excel in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge and complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. He said, listen, it's great that you know a lot of stuff. It's great that you can say good stuff. It's great that you volunteer and you do all that. He said, it is great that you walk in love. He says, but see that you also excel in this grace of giving. Oh, isn't that good? See that you also excel in this grace of giving. Man, I don't know about you, but I want to be the one that says, I want to excel in the grace of giving. I want to excel in that. I want to excel in that. Let's go to the next one. He says, I am not commanding you. I love that. He says, I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. Keep going. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Let's just stop right there. A lot of times, and we've heard it even here. I'll just be honest. We've heard it here in the past where people say, I give to get. That is a wrong heart. You need to finish the sentence. I give to get to give again. Amen. Why does God want you rich? Does God want you rich? Yes, God wants you to be rich. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to have more than enough for you. He doesn't want you to always be the receiver. He wants you to be the giver. Amen. He wants you to be the one to buy the groceries, not the one that always needs the groceries. There's a place we need to step up from that. People have pride in poverty. Listen, there is no pride in poverty. That is not where God wants you to be. Like, oh, well, God's keeping me humble. First of all, God does not humble you. The Bible says, humble yourself. That's right. God doesn't humble you. When we're thinking about poverty, people take pride in it and think, oh, well, God's keeping me humble. No, God is not doing that. God wants you to be rich, to have more than enough for you, so that you can be the giver, not always the receiver. Amen? We need to be the one buying the groceries, paying for the rent, paying for the formula, doing the things for people that they need. That's what we need to do. That's our responsibility. You know, I believe this. I believe this with all my heart, that it is the church's responsibility to take care of the family of God. I believe that in God's perfect plan, his perfect plan, and I'm probably going to get some flack for this, but, you know, just send the email to Angel. He'll read it. Angel@bbcstaff.com. I believe that it's a church, that the church should be so well off. I believe that it's God's plan that none of our people should be on food stamps, welfare, or on housing assistance. The church should take care of them. We're the ones that are supposed to take care of the widows and the orphans. That's our job. That's our job. But I tell you, there's not a whole lot of churches that can do that. We do it to the measure we're able. But I tell you what, I hate saying no. And I tell you, I get us in a little trouble every once in a while because I got a hard time saying no. I got a hard time saying no to poverty. I hate poverty. I hate poverty with everything in me. I hate to see the lady in front of me at the checkout that has to put each item up and see how much it is. How much is it now? How much is it now? And her little kid standing there thinking, man, I hope I get the cereal. I hope I get the cereal, right? You've seen that. I hate that, man. When I see that, when somebody's in front of me like that, I'm like, put it all up there. I got it. Put it all on the belt. We got it. Because it's better to give. I tell you, if you've never given, you have never experienced one of the greatest joys of Christianity. You've never experienced it. Because the greatest joy of Christianity is being like Christ-like. And Christ is a giver. There is no joy. One of my greatest, and I don't say this to be boastful, I say this to say glory to God. One of my greatest memories, when I look back on things, one of the greatest memories I have is calling somebody in my office several years ago at Christmas time and handing them to the keys to a very nice car. My car. I will never forget the look on their face. I will never forget that moment. It was pure joy, and I can't wait. I can't wait to do the same thing with my car that I got right now to give it away. I am itching to give that thing away. I am waiting for Scott to say, baby, let's give that thing away. I'm waiting. He hasn't said it yet, but I'm waiting. And when I gave that car, I had no car. People say, oh, you must have. No, I didn't have a car. I was driving the car, and the Lord said, you need to give this car. You need to give this car to so-and-so. And it was the third time that had happened. Third time. First car I gave away was to Chris Fong. He immediately totaled it. That's another story. Stretch your hands towards me and pray for me. All right? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, he totaled it. And then I gave a car to, we've given several cars away now. But I like giving away nice cars, you know? Oh, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. But I was driving down the road, and the Lord said, you need to give this car to so-and-so. I was like, okay. And so then I waited a couple, I prayed, and I said, you know, you can't do that kind of stuff. If you're married in here, don't be like coming home and saying, hey, I gave the car away. No, that's not how that works. That's not how that works. You're in agreement, right? You got to be in agreement. And so I waited. I said, Lord, you know, tell Scott when Scott gives me the release and says. And so I said to him a couple days later, I said, hey, has the Lord said anything to you about the car? He goes, yeah. He goes, I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting for you to say anything. He goes, we're supposed to give it to so-and-so. And I was like, oh, praise the Lord. And so we did. So I had no car. So I'd have Scott drive me around. You guys ever ridden with Scott? Pray for me. Pray for me. You know, had to believe God for another car and got one later. But, you know, there's no joy like that. And when we bought, and this just is our heart, I want to excel in giving. I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on God. God's done a thing in our hearts. We're givers. And now, as soon as the day that we purchased our home, we said, when this house is paid off, we will sow it. We will sow it. We will give it. We will give the keys to this house to somebody. And I'll tell you, we're looking forward to that day. We're looking forward to that day. We're so excited about giving a car away. Can you imagine giving a house away? It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Amen. It's coming. Why? Because God's done something to our hearts. God's got something to our hearts. We don't do it because we have to. I'm not doing it because, like, man, we better give this away because I want to get into heaven. We got to get into heaven. No. You're going to get into heaven because of Jesus. Amen. It's a free gift. Yes. You receive him. That's all you got to do. That's it. Receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You're on your way. We don't give to get. We give to get to give again. Amen? God wants us rich to be generous givers, to be the church that God designed us to be. Amen? We're the ones that should be taking care of people. We're the ones that should be doing that. All right, you guys got me way off track here. Let's keep going. All right. And I love what Paul says here. He says, for they gave according to what they had. Sometimes people are like, if I can't give a lot, I don't want to give anything. No, you got to get that giving ball rolling. And once that giving ball is rolling, you know what happens? The principles of God kick in. And when we give, God gives back to us, the Bible says, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. What's that running over for? It should be running over us so that everybody's around us is getting it. Yeah. Amen? They should be getting it. If anybody's paying for dinner, when we all go out to dinner, it should be the Christian. It should be the believer. That's who it should be. Why? Because it's running over us. And we can't help but give. Quit talking poor. And let's get a vision for what God wants us to be. Amen? It's not to get rich. And I know as well as you know that my profession can embarrass us sometimes. Pastors can be embarrassing about finances sometimes. And I'm not judging anybody. That's between them and the Lord. They got to do whatever God tells them to do. But as for me and my house, we give to get to give again. Amen? Doesn't mean God doesn't want you blessed. God wants you to live in a good place and safe place and have that. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you have that and you're not giving, something's wrong with that. Something's wrong with that. If you got more stuff than you're giving, something's wrong with that. Amen? That's just what I believe the word teaches. If you want to drive a Rolls Royce, you better be giving Rolls Royce offerings away. Amen? It better match. It better match. I'm going to stop there. Got a little check in my spirit there. All right, so let's talk about giving. Let's talk about what Paul teaches here in giving. First thing is we got to give joyfully. Amen? Amen? Listen, if you're going to be all sad-faced and you know, we got to pry it out of your hands, we're just like, keep it. Keep it. You know? And it's like when people come and, you know, they're mad about having to volunteer, I'm just like, go home. Go home. You know, like, I can't believe I got to be here. You don't got to be anywhere. You know, we don't have anybody serving in children's church that doesn't want to serve in children's church. Nobody's being made to do that. They get to do that. Amen. That's their attitude. They get to do it. Do you know we have so many people that want to be youth worker volunteers? We got to say, listen, we don't have space for you. There's no room for you. We're turning people away because we don't have enough room. These people, they want to sow into the lives of teenagers. They want to do that. And so, you know, if you're not going to give joyfully, you might as well keep it because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9:7, he says, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You know that word cheerful, if you look it up in the Greek, how many know Greek words have like, they're like this. They just explode when you look at them. They mean lots of stuff. And that word cheerful, you know what that word means? What another word comes from that? Hysterical, hilarious. God wants, there should be laughter in the time of the offering. Should be hilarious laughter. Look what we get to do. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. So if you don't think of it that way, then you haven't let God do what God wants to do in your heart. You don't want to do it. And if you don't want to do it, don't do it. Don't do it. Because it's not going to do you any good. It's not going to do me any good. Don't do it. And then Proverbs 21:26 says, some people are always greedy for more, but the godly love to give. The godly love to give. How many want to be godly? Well, you better love to give. You better love to give. And then number two, give selflessly. 2 Corinthians 8:5, what did he say? And they did, talking about that church in Macedonia, they were in poverty and going through a hard time, but it says, and they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. Let's give of ourselves. Let's give, you know, if it's gotta hurt a little bit. It's got to, you know, if it's just, you know, nothing, then it's really not giving. If it doesn't mean anything to you, you know, if you were to get something for Christmas, and, you know, I did a whole series on re-gifting one time, but if somebody gave you a Christmas gift and it didn't mean anything to them, they didn't look for it, they didn't try to pick a gift out for you, it's meaningless. You ever got one of those gifts? It's meaningless. And then you have somebody else, and they think about you, and they think about what you like, and they think about the things that you do, and they buy something for you that's meaningful to you. One of my favorite gifts that I've ever gotten was my nephew Jared, who's so excited. He just opened a restaurant in Las Vegas. This kid, I tell you, he's full of adventure. But he and his wife Shannon, for my birthday last year, they gave me one of the most thoughtful gifts I've ever gotten. They had an artist in Italy do a hand drawing of all of my dogs. And then they took that hand drawing and they made it into a phone case, which I have right here. Ta-da, look at that. Is that the cutest thing or what? It's so cute, but it is a worthless phone cover. I've had to replace my screen twice. And my husband says, when are you gonna get a decent phone case? I'm like, I can't do it. Because I just, every time I look, you know, here's why. Because every time I look at this, I feel the love that Jared and Shannon have for me. That they would go through so much trouble and find such a thoughtful gift. Every time I look at it, I think, man, they really love me. This means something to me. And so the next time I crack my phone, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go down to Apple, and I'm going to pay $100, and they're going to put a new one on it, and I'm going to be like, oh, that's so pretty. And you can judge me, and you can say, that is so stupid. I don't care. Because every time I look at it, I think, man, they really love me, man. That's a nice gift. But, you know, that same birthday, I got other gifts. And they were great gifts, too. I got some great, but, you know, there's some, you know, like, you know, a couple family members, they're not as thoughtful. They just give money. You know, this is more valuable than money will ever be. I have no idea how much it cost, but whatever it was worth it. Because it showed love to me. Showed love to me. And that's how our giving needs to be. Our giving needs to be thoughtful. We need to think about it. We need to be, you know, let's give. Let's be like Jesus. John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world that he gave." He didn't just give anything. He could have given gold and silver because he's got tons of it in heaven. The streets are made out of gold. He could have gave us wealth, but none of that's going to be eternal. He gave us what was eternal. He gave us his only son. Amen? And so when I think about that, you know what? When I think about my giving, I want a purpose to give for eternal things. Things are going to change people eternally. And you never know what that's going to be. You never know. And then next thing is, let's give willingly. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 8:12, it says, "For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable." You could drop $1 million in the offering today, and we'd really be excited about that. We would. I'm just telling you. We'd be excited. I mean, you know, let's not be crazy here. We'd be excited about that. But if you weren't willing and you did it begrudgingly, or you did it because you felt like you had to, now we'd be blessed because you just gave us $1 million. But you... You're not going to get the blessing God has for you. You're not going to experience that joy that God has for you for giving. You're not going to experience that because you didn't really want to do it in the first place. You got to be willing. It says, if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable. So somebody could give $1 million and they're doing it begrudgingly. They think they have to do it. They're doing it for all kind of crazy reasons that they shouldn't have. And then somebody else, some single mom in here who makes $400 a week, and she's giving her tithe of $40, and she's doing it because she wants to. That $40 means more to God than that $1 million ever will. Ever will. Why? The willingness is there. The heart is there. Amen. The heart is there. Next thing is give thankfully. Psalms 116 says, "How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me?" You can't. You cannot. You cannot. But let's give because we are thankful. Not to pay for it, but because we're thankful. Amen. And then one of the biggest questions I get asked a lot is, isn't tithing under the law. Because they're in tithing under the law. We don't have to do that anymore. Tithing, that's in the Old Testament. And here's the thing. Quick lesson. Tithing was before the law, it was during the law, and it's also after. But the same principle applies. If you don't want to do it, it's not going to help you. It's not going to help you. Tithing is a principle that works. And here's the thing. It works for believers and non-believers too. When you give, it's given back to you. That's why sometimes you see people that are big, they don't know God, but they're big givers, so they keep being blessed. What's happening? They're tapping into a godly principle that the church isn't. Did you hear that? It's a godly principle. It's a godly principle, and it works. The law of sowing and reaping is a law. It works no matter what. And so when we think about that, when it comes to giving, Jesus said in Matthew 5:17, he says, "Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." To fulfill them. So it's not about, we don't have to tithe anymore. You don't have to tithe anymore because it's the law. We're not going to be like, okay, we're having a tithing check. Angel, check. Devon, check. Joe Schmo, you're in trouble. We're not going to do that. We're not going to call you up here and say, this is a non-tither. Listen, if we did that, that's all I'm going to say. This is a non-tither. Therefore, they will be shunned and cut off from the rest of the body because that's not going to happen. We're not going to do that. Why? Because we're not under the law anymore. Amen. I tithe because it's a godly principle, because it's God's instruction to me, not because I have to, but because, say it with me, I want to. I want that going in my life, but it's my choice. There's tons of Christians that don't tithe. Trust me, I know. There's tons that don't tithe. They're still going to heaven. They can still pray. You know, you don't go to pray and an angel show up. Did you tithe? That doesn't happen. Why? Because we are under grace. We are under grace. So we give thankfully, we give willingly, and the last one, we give intentionally. 2 Corinthians 9:7, what did Paul say? He says, you must make up your mind. You make up your mind. Don't let anybody else do it for you. You make up your mind as to how much you should give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. And that is why we say at BBC, we give because we want to, not because we have to. We will never pressure anyone to give. Never. You know why? Because God is our source. God's our source. And he uses people, of course, but, you know, God's going to get the money to us, to the church, to pay the bills, however he has to do it. It gets here. Amen? And so we never pressure you to do it. It's our responsibility as believers to do it. But Paul said, he said, listen, don't give under pressure. Don't give reluctantly. So 1 Timothy 6:9 out of the Living Bible says this, by doing this, you will be storing up real treasure for yourself in heaven. It is the only safe investment for eternity. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? You know, we say a joke around here, when we're working, we say, oh, that's why you get the big bucks. Trust me when I say none of us get natural big bucks. And so, but it's a joke. We say, that's why you get the big bucks. And the response is, in heaven. In heaven. I got big bucks in heaven. Amen? Where it matters most. My big bucks are in heaven, where it matters most. And so when we're talking about giving, when we're talking about being givers, you say, "Why?" When somebody says, why do you want to? Because God's been so good to me. Why do you want to? Because God's got a financial plan that works. Why do you want to? Because I want to excel, not just in knowledge, not just in prayer, I want to excel in giving. Why do you want to? Because I want to be Christ-like. God's a giver. Why do you want to? Because Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. And I've experienced that. We've experienced that. There is no joy like giving. Amen. And you know what? We didn't start giving cars away. We didn't start there. We started way smaller. But we had a belief. We would say to ourselves, one day we're going to give this away. One day we're going to sow this. One day we set goals. One day we're going to sow $1,000 to this ministry, and we've done it. One day, and our biggest goal is we're going to sow our house. We've said it from the day we walked in the door. We said we will. So we prayed. We said, Lord, we will sow this house one day. One day this house will go to another family. And you know what we'll do? We'll go buy another one, and we'll pay it off. We'll sow it. That's our plan. That's our plan. You got to find out what your plan is. Amen. That's what we've determined that we will do. And you got to do what you're going to do. It says, let each one determine in your own mind what you'll give. But I tell you, don't miss out on one of the biggest blessings of being a believer. That's giving. That's giving. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like the heart. There's nothing like putting your treasure where your heart is. If you say your treasure is with your kids, then or your heart is with your kids, then your treasure should be there. It's like, you know, and listen, if I'm stepping on your toes, they probably need it. But, you know, it's like, you know, child support. Why does the state have to make a parent pay for their child? That's craziness. That's craziness. And I know there's extenuating circumstances. Let me tell you, my brother, he's got a crazy child support story. His kids are both married and have children, and he's still paying child support. It's a long story. But anyway, so I know there's these crazy stories. I know that. But listen, if you're a parent in here and your heart is with your kids, then provide for them. Because where your heart is, that's where your treasure should be. Amen? That's where your treasure should be. Your treasure's not in the lotto. It's not in alcohol. It's not in a brand new car. It's with your kids. That's where your heart is. That's where your treasure should be. That's the measure of your heart. People say, you can't measure your heart. Oh, yeah, you can. God said you can. He says, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. If your heart is here, your treasure should be here. Your treasure should be here. Amen? That's not me. That's God. And when people say, why do you give? Because my treasure's in the bride of Christ. Because my treasure is in the hope of the world, which is the local church. It's the local church. Let me look around. Make sure there's not here. I'm going to close up here in a minute. We had somebody come knock on the door. This is what church is for. This is what church is for. She comes, knocks on the door. I go, I answer the door. She's crying. She says, is there anybody here I can talk to? You're in the right place. Come on in. That's what church is for. Led her to the Lord, prayed with her, encouraged her, talked with her for a while. She came in one way, she walked out another. That's what church is for. Amen? That's what church is for. And you know who makes that happen? You guys. Us as a body. This is our home. This is our church. And we take care of it, so that it can take care of others. Amen? And so the whole message today is, why do I want to? Why do I want to? Because I tell you what, there are some people in this church that if they're out of town, they mail their offering or they go online. There are people that chase down the ushers. They're like that Macedonian church. They're going to get their seed in the ground. They're going to get their offering in the plate, whether they're back there, over here, miss the offering. You know, some people are like, oh, I miss the offering. All right, good deal. Extra money this week, you know? Extra money. You know, all right. Well, I tried, Lord. I tried, you know. It wasn't me, right? And that happens, all right? Let's not judge anybody. But there's others like, what? Wait. I'm compelled to give. The Bible says love compels me to give. It compels me. And so that's all that today's message is. So then when people ask you, why do you want to give? That's crazy. That doesn't make sense. Let me tell you why. Because God's way works. I say it all the time. I'd rather have 10% go out to God so that my 90 is blessed than to have 100 and have no God in it. That is how I live, and that's just my tithe. We're not even talking about offering. That's another thing. But love compels me to give. But it's up to you. You give if you want to. And if you don't, we don't post a sign in the back saying who gives and who doesn't. We don't do that because we love everybody the same. But as a body, man, I'm thankful for the ones who'll say, this is my house, and I'm going to help pay the electric bill. This is my house, I'm going to help because it's my house. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you just for your word today. Lord, we thank you, first of all, that you are such a giver, that your word says that you loved us so much that you gave your only son, Jesus. You didn't just give anything. You gave your one and only son. Why? So that we could receive him as Lord and Savior. So that we could have a relationship with you. Lord, you loved us so much that in spite of us, in spite of all the crazy that we did, you still made the way for us to go to heaven. You still made the way for us to have relationship with you through giving Jesus. I'm so grateful for that gift, Lord. And maybe you're here today and, you know, we're talking about giving and all that, but I want to remind you, giving isn't just about money. Giving is a generous lifestyle, and we get that from God because he is generous. He is the greatest giver. He gave his only son all for you so that you could receive the gift of Jesus, and it would make way for you to have a relationship with God the Father, to have all your sins forgiven, to receive power to live life here on this earth. God did all that for you. Not because you earned it, but because he loves you. And so if you're here today with every head bowed and every eye closed just for a minute, we're talking about giving, but there's also receiving. Maybe you're here today and today's your day to receive the greatest gift ever given. His name is Jesus. You don't have to do anything or earn it or anything like that. You just receive. If you're here today and you say, man, I want to receive this gift. I want to receive forgiveness. I want to receive eternal life with God the Father. I want to receive all that God has for me through Jesus. If that's you, just raise your hand up big and tall and say, Peggy, that's me. I say this, when you raise your hand, you raise your heart. Oh, Father, I thank you that we're all heading in the same direction. We've all received you as Lord and Savior. And Lord, we are grateful. We are grateful. Grateful for you. We're going to receive our supernatural tithes and offerings. So just have the ushers come down.